General election leaflets linking the Alliance Party to the IRA have been criticised as fake news campaign by the party. The leaflets have appeared in a number of locations in Bangor. The criticism comes after the DUP deputy leader Nigel Dodds condemned the smearing of any election candidate. Mr Dodds' comments followed the removal of a banner targeting Belfast Lord Mayor John Finucane on Sunday. John Finucane from Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin and North Belfast have also been criticised for including the Shankill bomber Sean Kelly in their canvassing team. Back to John Finucane. Sinn Féin's party leader Mary Lou McDonald said there has been an appalling and dangerous campaign of harassment, intimidation and threats against John Finucane and his family. So it brings us to have a discussion with you this morning. Is this the most divisive, the most nasty campaign in Northern Ireland in decades? And how's that going to influence how you vote, if at all? I've been challenging the prominent loyalist blogger, Jimmy Bryson, who has defended the banners which have been put up smearing the Finucane family.
I see no issue with them. And look, I think for nationalism and republicanism to be complaining about them is quite incredible. You know, just to give a couple of examples, there was a poster actually launched by John Finucane on the 25th anniversary of his father's murder. John Finucane himself launched a mural in West Belfast which included on it the faces of soldiers, the faces of loyalists on the wall, and that was deemed absolutely fine. Again, on the 8th of October this year, Dermot Finucane, who is, of course, one of the people named on the banner, was taken to Twitter to demand a statement from Emma Little Tangeli in relation to her father. So it was deemed fine for nationalists to target the DUP candidate because of her father. And, for example, many other publications and documentaries are used by nationalists to make allegations against loyalists and name people and broadcast their faces all over the world.
But the point is that some of what you have described about the DUP candidate's father is backed up by convictions in a court of law. The candidate in North Belfast called John Finucane, there is no conviction against Mr. Finucane. There is no court has determined anything against John Finucane, and smear campaigns have no place in this election.
Well, let me make two points. That nowhere, unless you're looking at a different banner than I am, nowhere is there any allegations of convictions or terrorist activity made against John Finucane. So nowhere is that made on any of the banners. So I don't know what banners you're looking at. I think the issue with Mr. Finucane is his reluctance or refusal, actually, to outwardly condemn the actions of the IRA. And in fact, he has the Shankill bomber, Sean Kelly, canvassing for him. And I think that is a fair point to be made.
Well, you can make that point, but you can't make a point about people not condemning paramilitary organisations when you fall far short of that when we talk to you about your friends in the UVF.
And what has that got to do with these particular banners?
It's called hypocrisy.
I'm not running to be MP. And if I was running to be MP, I would be honest about my views. But here we have Mr. Finucane, who seeks to present himself as a progressive face of a new Northern Ireland, but yet refuses to condemn the IRA. And Sinn Féin are trying to hide behind all of this fly language. This is Sinn Féin, who talk about sinister banners. This is the same Sinn Féin that continue to glorify the IRA. Only earlier in the month, nearly Sinn Féin on their Twitter account was posting posters advertising an event with a masked gunman on it, and yet they're offended by these banners. They can't have it both ways.
Well, you have no problem with commemoration of paramilitary activity. That's part of the defences that you use when so-called commemorative flags are posted illegally on lampposts.
Well, I make this point again. I am not putting myself forward as some progressive hiding behind flowery language as Sinn Féin do. I am pretty open about my viewpoints and everybody knows where I stand and knows my views. Sinn Féin are trying to ride two horses. They can't
do
it.
Have I actually priced it out of you yet that you support the UVF?
Well, listen, I have been absolutely explicit for many years that in a conflict situation that I believe that the loyalist people had a right to defend themselves. And that doesn't mean that I believe everything that loyalists did was right, because evidently there was many things done which wasn't right. But on the principle that the lawyers are allowed to defend themselves in a conflict situation at that time, yes, absolutely, I stand over that. And I've said that for years. You know, but do you think that
when there is a smear campaign about an election candidate, some people find that deeply depressing. That we are stooping to that level of politics. Have you had anything to do with those banners going up?
I haven't put the banners up.
Did you have anything to do with putting them together?
Well, I don't own a printer shop, so no, I didn't print any of the banners.
I didn't ask you if you literally printed them. Have you been part of the organisation in any way behind those banners?
Look, I think that the banners are a positive thing, but ultimately this is a grassroots unionist and loyalist thing. It's not any one person or any one particular group. So
you're in trouble now, Jamie, aren't you? When I ask you that question and your mind pauses to see how you can avoid it. Have you been part in any way in organising those banners? Either printing them, putting them together, thought behind them? Have you been part of the process?
So now you're asking me for an analysis of my thought process.
No, I'm asking you, have you been part in any way in those banners?
Look, I am not behind the banners. And regardless of people would like to point a finger at me and create some boogeyman, I am not behind the banners. And I think these banners have went up all over Northern Ireland and in various locations. And the notion
whoever did put them together or decide what was in them, you had no part of that discussion.
Look, I have many discussions with many people all the time, politicians, community activists, unionist lawyers. I talk to many people on a daily basis. I'm not going to get into private conversations I've had with people, but I'm telling you, I did not organise and I did not put up the banners.
But you might have had private conversations with people about what would be in those banners, is that right?
I have private conversations with people about the interface used every day, but that's largely irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant.
Or put the banners up. What do you want to do? Is this a thought police? People not allowed to think, not allowed to have private conversations. So as I'm telling you, I am not behind the banners. I am not orchestrating this, as some people may like to say. And the notion that I would be orchestrating this in all of these geographical locations is just absolutely ridiculous, that one person would be behind all this, and it's just an effort to create, a one particular boogeyman. It's an absolute nonsense.
So you're not trying to whip up a sectarian headcount?
Well, I think if we talk about sectarian headcounts, we can always go back to the leaflet put out by Jerry Kelly and other people. But let's be honest, North Belfast is a sectarian headcount. It is us v them, and I'm just honest enough to say that, and that's exactly what it is. And we have nationalism coming together in an effort to unseat unionism and to get unionist representatives out. So naturally, unionism need to come together to fight back against that. And nowhere is that more prevalent than in North Belfast. And I don't shy away from that. And I think there's a great momentum in the unionist and loyalist community, and actually an anger, which I think it's 20 years of pent up frustration and anger at what many people see as a one-sided peace process, and all of that is now pouring out because people have simply had enough.
You see, I don't think this interview needs to be too antagonistic, because actually there's a bigger picture conversation to have here, that when you talk about it is them and us, some people will find this deeply depressing, that this them and us, can we never be us together in this community, looking at the commonality of the problems that people face, whether it is us or them, sickness, prosperity in your life in terms of the economy, job prospects. Why, Jamie, do people like you want to keep it them and us? Openly saying this is a sectarian headcount.
That's what it is.
That's your strategy. Well, it only is because people like you try to make it so.
No, sorry. It is a sectarian headcount. It's not my strategy. I'm not the one that created a nationalist pact in North Belfast to try and target the unionist representative. I'm not the one that created a nationalist pact in South Belfast to try and target the unionist representative. I'm not the one that's waging a daily cultural war against every aspect of one community. And see, if you look, and I've made this point to you many, many times, for 20 years, the mocking, the sneering, the dehumanisation of the loyalist community and the working class unions community and people have had enough. And that's why you're seeing all of this anger at this point in time. And I don't know how anybody's going to put that genie back in the bottle.
Well, unionists and loyalists have a way of having their views expressed, and it's through their democratically elected politicians. Whether you're sidelined or not, you're not necessarily the voice of...
No, but it's not all about me.
Exactly. Or you want us to believe that the people have had enough, and you want us to believe that people are buying into some type of them and us sectarian headcount. And maybe what you're most fearful of is people actually voting upon the basis of what a politician can deliver in terms of helping them survive cancer, in terms which doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or Protestant, or whether their child comes from a deprived background, and therefore has a good chance at life in terms of job prospects. Doesn't matter if you're Catholic or Protestant, and maybe you're trying to stop people thinking about that when they vote.
Well, I'll make 2 points on that. The first point is in relation to that I'm sort of as if, I don't know if the insinuation is that I'm representing something that's not there, but I would remind you 6 weeks ago, I warned that there was a bubbling unionist and loyalist anger, and we had other people coming on saying I was misguided and I was foolish and saying that this was just a small group of hardline loyalists in East Belfast and this wasn't representative. I think the last 6 weeks have shown that it, in fact, what I was saying is entirely representative of where the unionist and loyalist community is at, if you look how this is spreading all throughout the country. Secondly, we all want to live in a society where our politics are focused on those issues. But the fact of the matter is this.
Do you really, Jimmy, want to live in that society?
Well, the fact of the... Let me answer the question. The fact of the matter is this. We live in a country where we have two diametrically opposed political aspirations. And those two diametrically opposed political aspirations cannot coexist in a political sense without there being a winner and a loser. You cannot have two sides pulling two different directions. Somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. And what Brexit has done is it has washed away all the ambiguity of the Belfast Agreement.
There are other people who say make other issues in Northern Ireland more important than, a sectarian headcount.
Stephen, are you objecting to the notion that the major political issue in Northern Ireland is a constitutional position? You know, you can't seriously be telling me that is not the major political issue in Northern Ireland, and that will always come into play because it is the very identity and fabric of our country. So eventually, people are going to have to make a choice on that. You know, you want people to exist in what some utopian vacuum where you don't discuss the national identity.
Putting it to you, as much as it is a nightmare scenario for someone like you, as much as it possibly is a nightmare scenario for paramilitaries on both. Let me make the point. As much as it is a nightmare scenario for the UVF, IRA, whoever else, there might actually be a groundswell of people in Northern Ireland who don't actually really care whether they are British or Irish as much as they care about living in a safe country which has good life prospects for them, where they can get a job, can be healthy, and it's a great environment for their kid.
Stephen, that's what people like you possibly fear. Stephen, let me tell you, that sounds lovely. That is utopian nonsense, which is not living in the real world, and that is the truth of this matter. And my feeling is, I'm just honest enough to say it without trying to gloss over it and code it and put it different ways. The fact of the matter is, in this utopian place which you describe, what would the national identity of the country be? Just where would we be? Just utopia? Well, we don't talk about our identity. We don't have a country. What's the flag of this country? What's the anthem of this country you describe where nobody cares about? The fact of the matter is this. The constitutional position of the country is the major core political issue. And is the two major identities in Northern Ireland are those who identify as British, as a southern part of the United Kingdom, and those that want to drive us out of the United Kingdom. And that is a fact of life. And all
you talk about constitutional issue for this. You're the man who welcomed Brexit. You lauded Boris Johnson. I can see a tweet here, May 24th. It's now time for a Prime Minister who believes in the UK. We need an ideological Brexiteer. Boris Johnson's the only man for the job. Jump to November 17, and you're talking about Boris Johnson's Betrayal Act. You called that wrong, didn't you?
Well, it is a betrayal act, and Boris Johnson and I think the British government know very well that, they, of course, have a way out of this situation. They have a way to calm all the tensions in Northern Ireland, and all they need to do is actually, and far be it for me to be arguing for the Belfast Agreement, but, you know, let's
My point is, why should the loyalist community put any stock in your analysis when you called Boris Johnson wrong, by your own admission?
No, sorry, hold on. The analysis that Northern Ireland should leave the European Union, or sorry...
No, you said Boris Johnson was the only man for the job, Jimmy. Now you're saying he's the architect of a betrayal act to the Union. You can't get it any more wrong, can you?
No, sorry. What has happened here is the British government has caved in, and I think if you read many, Tim Shipman had a good article in the other week about this, and the basis of this caving in was threats of Republican violence. So the British Irish government have caved in. They have said that Northern Ireland can't have to exit the rest of the United Kingdom because it will upset the nationalist community. So, absolutely, I am firmly in support of Brexit, but I voted for Brexit for the whole United Kingdom. And if the unionist community of Northern Ireland aren't on board the Brexit bus, then it's just not going to be a Brexit bus. And Boris Johnson needs to understand that. And I think more and more Conservative MPs are starting to understand that the unionist and loyalist community are not having an economic United Ireland and are not tolerating the Brexit.
You might have seen the polls over recent weeks, and there were a number of polls which said people across the UK would rather have Brexit than retain the union.
Well, you know, polls, and who are the type of people that take part in polls? And I make this point all the time. Polls are the environment of the liberal elite establishment, an echo chamber of the liberal elite.
They're not actually. They're statistically robust if they're done by the right people.
Are they? Well, what about the polls that said Hillary Clinton would win? What about the polls that said Brexit had no chance? What about them polls? This is the point. Pollsters, liberal elite commentators, the establishment, all of these people can't understand why people have had enough. People have had enough of the sneering of being told that they're stupid, that they're racist, they're sectarian, because they have a national
but
identity.
But finally, if we come back to what we're talking about today, you're publicly, openly telling people that the North Belfast vote is a sectarian headcount. You're encouraging people to buy into this sectarian headcount. Are we not better than that in Northern Ireland? Has anybody got a brain not better than buying into a sectarian headcount and using their vote if they decide to vote based on more than sectarian tendencies that they might have?
I didn't design the pact of nationalism in North Belfast, trying to unseat unionism. I didn't put a leaflet out a number of years ago showing the demographics, a sectarian headcount leaflet that was put out by Sinn Féin. So while this people might want to hide away from it or gloss it over in different language, I'm just honest enough to tell the truth. North Belfast is a sectarian headcount. It is us v them.
The DUP, who you have been criticising.
Well, the DUP made a fatal error when they firstly agreed to that type of regulatory checks, which it was a strategic farce. In my mind, and certainly the way the DUP tried to sell it privately, that it was only ever a smokescreen, that they were never actually going to agree with it, which I said at the time quite openly, both publicly and privately, to a number of the DUP MPs, that it was an absolute strategic disaster. I had no idea what they're doing. So, yes, they made a fatal mistake, but they have now taken the correct position, which is to oppose the Betrayal Act.
So, look, that's the contribution this morning from the Loyalist blogger, Jimmy Bryson. John Finucane was asked by the Belfast Telegraph if he condemned IRA violence. Mr. Finucane said at the time, "I think my unique personal and professional background would show that really a lot of people in this society have been caused hurt. I think everybody in this society is entitled to truth and is entitled to justice." 03030 80 55 55. Jacqueline's with us this morning, Ponta Pass. Morning to you, Jacqueline.
Good morning, Stephen.
And just before we move on, and look, you know, criticism of the Nolan Show is fair enough. I see that there are quite a lot of people, by the way, which is what we do, want to have a conversation around this, and that's why we're here. There are some people, you know, complaining about us giving Jimmy Bryson a platform this morning. So let me just clear that up before we go on. Jimmy Bryson has been prominent in supporting some of these banners, and the Nolan Show will not be skirting around a story like this by talking to everybody but one of the high-profile people. I think you need to have an opportunity to hear what people like him are saying, whether you like it or not, the words that he is saying, and that is the whole, in the whole DNA of the Nolan Show. So we don't do careful broadcasting. And you have an opportunity to challenge him, and we challenge people like him as well. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Good morning, Stephen. I just want Northern Ireland to move on, not take us back 25 years. Let's vote for education, people for the health. Just walk through the hospitals, see how ill people are. That's the most important thing to Northern Ireland now. All the services that our people need. Yeah. And I think, honestly, that's all that matters.
I think we're continuing on from yesterday's conversation, though, Jacqueline, because I'm going to say to you, like I did the other callers yesterday, but is it all that matters? You see, you say that, and if I didn't challenge you, we could all walk away from this thinking, well, you know, people will be deciding how they vote based on what actually matters in this country in terms of what you've just said, health and everything else. Or actually is what matters keeping the bogeyman out, however you define the bogeyman?
Well, honestly, I think, to be fair, you know, we need to vote to move Northern Ireland on and provide the services for the people of Northern Ireland that count and that are needed and that will take our country forward.
Together. Take it forward together.
Together. It should be us. It definitely should be us. Everybody is equal.
Do you find a toxicity in the air at the minute, Jacqueline?
Yes, I feel that the darkness is coming back and it shouldn't be like that. I have friends in both sides of the community and, you know, it's really a small number of people that would be thinking otherwise in my book.
Jacqueline, thank you. And Michael next from Newton Abbey. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, to be quite honest, I'm a little bit concerned with the language that you use as well. I mean, and let me tell you why. You use this word sectarian headcount. Jamie Bryson, us and them sort of scenario. And following on from the last caller, the reality to it is 99% of the population of Northern Ireland want to talk about education, health, etc., social welfare, etc. But the reality to it is that it's not a sectarian headcount. This is actually an identity scenario. There is a section of Northern Ireland which see themselves as British. There is a section which see themselves as Irish. And when politics comes in, sorry, when elections come around, ultimately, especially with Brexit being added into the mix, and it has been proven in this election that it has become, if you want to call it, a territorial or an identity issue. So it's not sectarian. I don't believe it's sectarian. I believe it's an identity because since Northern Ireland's existence, there has always been a section of community who will never, never, ever, ever accept the existence of Northern Ireland.
So, Michael.
And that has been proven. Let me finish my point first, Stephen. And that has been proven since 1921. We've had intermittent terrorist campaigns since 1921. So I know what I would like. I'm quite sure 90%, 100% almost of the population would like this. That if and as and when the Good Friday Agreement made a statement that Northern Ireland's position will not change until the majority of the population desire it, why doesn't Sinn Féin, SDLP, all those who are desirous of a united Ireland, why don't they just let nature take its course and tell the population? But we don't get that. We get the continuous United Ireland, the continuous border pull, the continuous threat of violence, which has been issued again through Brexit, the threat to the process. Why doesn't all of that just... Why don't... Everyone has the right to have whatever aspiration they want. But let's live in the present and deal with the present issues. And that's what's wrong with Northern Ireland. People, the population have never been allowed to do that.
Let me ask you this question.
Because of this continuous United Ireland aspiration and threat of violence and intermittent down our history.
Well, people are like to have an aspiration for a United Ireland without being tarred with that they're threatening violence at the same time. One doesn't go with the other, Michael. Can I ask you this question?
Yes.
If you're right that identity is always going to be the issue, mm-hmm. Does that mean? Does that
honest, by the way? Let's be honest about that.
Does that mean, therefore, that all any political party in Northern Ireland has to do between one election and the next is wave the identity card ahead of the next election? Does it not matter how they perform in terms of the economy, in terms of the National Health Service, in terms of all of those other different departments? Does it not actually matter?
Yes.
In terms of keeping themselves in a... the logical answer to what you've said is that it doesn't matter.
I'm going to give you why. The logical answer is because if you want to call it, one of the identities is affiliated to the sixth biggest economy in the world, whereby we will get greater enhancement of our education, our health service, our social welfare, etc. And the other is not. And that's the difference. Whereas the other one is...
Well, that's not quite now.
That's not quite
what I'm asking. What I'm saying. Let me explain it one more time, Michael. Because I actually think, and I can see with the volume of calls coming in, that, you know, this is a conversation we all need to have as a community together, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm saying to you that are we still at a place in Northern Ireland where any politician and any political party will not have to earn their job, earn their place in politics, earn a vote by doing anything other than representing your identity at election time? Is it actually even going to ever be possible in this country for a significant number of votes to be earned through something other than identity? And it's not for me to say whether it should or shouldn't be, but what do you think?
Well, Stephen, when people get past the aspirational view of a United Ireland, which everyone has the entitlement to, the aspiration of United Ireland is everyone's entitlement that has that view. But until you recognise that when and only when that is the reality of in terms of the population and every election we come to, then that is the debate that we have. But until then, let us work and not be continuously niggled at all the time, border poll, United Ireland, you're Irish. I'm being told I'm Irish, Stephen. I'm being told that, despite the fact that I say I'm not. And we're being sold this all Ireland.
Well, you're also being told, and it's locked into the Good Friday Agreement, isn't it? You're also being told that you are British unless the majority of... And you will always be entitled to be British, and Northern Ireland status will only change with the consent of the majority. So, you know...
Well, why isn't that believed and evidenced through the peaceful nationalist community? That's my question. Why is it always the extreme... Republicans,
it's not always the extreme. There are extremes at both sides, and there are moderates on both sides. You know this.
Thank you, Stephen. That's my point. My point is this. Let's get away from it. Right. When it is accepted, absolutely accepted. And,
okay.
You know, Michael,
I need to leave it there. And I have enjoyed the conversation, mate. Call us again. Here's the number, 0303 80 55 55. Is Jamie Bryson right this morning when he said, look, you can all think you're living in this utopia, but the bottom line is, the big issue in Northern Ireland will always be identity. Is he right?